This one or this one? Let me see. Yes, good morning, everyone. Just a few intimations. And thank you for the sound up there. It's quite... Yeah, downstairs, we don't see all the action upstairs in the gallery, but they are quite busy getting the sound fixed. Thank you very much for that, and everyone that collaborates doing that. A few intimations this morning. Everything, most of it is on the back or of our leaflets. Just an reminder that Connect was this morning, the 15th, but the next Connect is the 6th of October. The 6th of October, that is the date of the next Connect, not the 15th, that is today. And then again, just a request for the after school children's club. Tim is here this morning again, and thank you, Tim, for doing that. Tim is asking if there's anyone that would like to help him voluntarily. You can just connect with Tim or speak with Tim. You don't need to go there every week. Yes, but thank you very much for that. And then we heard sad news of Mr. Douglas Will, that was a, well, he's still on the congregation roll, but which attended church here in Lambride. Douglas Will passed away this week. He is the husband of Dorothy Will, and they reside in, or she resides in Elgin. Are there any other intimations you thought of or notices that you would like us to mention? All right, so it's the TOFM. So TOFM are meeting in St. Margaret's Hall. In the church hall, not St. Margaret's Hall, the church hall this Friday. Thank you for that. All right, thank you. Let us worship together. In the beginning, before time, before people, before the world began, God was. Here and now, among us, beside us, clearer than air, closer than breathing, God is. In all that is to come, when we have turned to dust and human knowledge has been completed, God will be, not despairing of earth, but delighted in it, not condemning the world, but redeeming it through Christ, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. God was, God is, God will be. Let us pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I greet you in the name of the Father, our Creator, Jesus, our Savior, through the work of his Holy Spirit. Peace and mercy be unto you in abundance. Amen. Let's greet the Lord in a song, and we sing to God, Be the Glory. We can sit as well and confess our faith. We needn't to stand, which is a good practice to stand confessing our faith. But this morning I invite you, let's sit down. And instead of confessing it out loud, I will say the words and you can confess it in your heart with me as a prayer this morning. Lord, we pray and we confess each one of us by saying, I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And we will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's sing our next hymn, Father God, I Wonder. Let us pray. Give us, Lord, as a morning meal, the nourishment of your word to benefit our bodies and minds, our souls, our belief. Let your word live within us, faithful Lord, day by day, night by night, in our thinking, our speaking, our doing, our believing. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from the book of Psalms, and it's Psalm 23. And that can be found on the Pew Bibles on page 555. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And our New Testament reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 10, reading from verse 14 to verse 18, and that can be found in the Pew Bibles on page 1076. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Amen, and may God add his blessing to these readings of his holy word.
Psalm 23 might just well be the most well-known psalm in the Bible, or even the most known text in the Bible. We would say it by heart when we were children back home, and surely this was the most, thus far, most requested psalm to use at funerals as well. At a stage, I was saying to Karin, my friend who works in our church office back home, I would say, are there still any possibilities to see Psalm 23 in a new and a different way, having it over and over and over and over, and believe it? Yes. Many times I've discovered new things of Psalm 23, and this morning, ministering on Psalm 23, I would like to tell you one of my experiences when I was quite younger, and I'm not old, but when I was a second year at university, and my experience on what Psalm 23 meant to me in person, or an experience in a different sense. And this goes back to a university holiday which I had, and we used to farm with sheep, and we also had goats, which we translate as mohair goats, but mainly we would farm with sheep. Now, the area where we used to farm was called, or still called, the Karoo, and interesting enough, I didn't know this, but the name for the area, Karoo, comes from a very indigenous word from the Khoisan called Karusa. Did you know that, Peter and Karin? I didn't know that, which means hard and dry. And it is nothing more or less, it's hard and a dry area. This would be the area of our farm. In the front, you would get aloes. These are aloes. And then it would be quite flat. And you would get some thorn bushes also in the area. And then this is very peculiar and specific to our area. Thank you, that helps a lot. Now, that's a beetle that knows her work. In our area, let me just go back, sorry. In our area, we get a specific plant growing like a cacti. But it's not a cacti in the sense that it has thin thorns. It has hard thorns. So it would scrape you if you walk close to it, but you can walk through the cacti. Or it's called noers, a very strange name, but I went online and I tried to see what plant it was and what's the English term for it. The only name I got was that it was part of, let me see, where is the biological name? It's part of the euphorbias. Is that it? All right, it makes sense to you. It has a milky sap in the inside, and it's quite harsh. It grows hip height. It grows this length, and it will be all around the felt or the field on the farm. Now, it means nothing to the farmer as it is, but during drought times, we will cut it into pieces, and then after a week or 2 weeks, as it lies on the ground, it gets soft, and then the sheep and the cattle or what you farm with, they can eat it. But it's a very distinctive, weird plant, and specific, quite specific, that one to our area. There's a better picture to give you a view. It's a harsh environment. It's a very dry environment. But that is where we used to farm. Now, my father, as I said, had the sheep on the farm. And this required certain chores, as it usually does, to be dealt with to keep the animals in fit condition. Now, I remember a specific day, as I mentioned, as a student on holiday, the specific day, my father said that we had to gather the flock of the sheep in the field and that we need to bring them into the sheep fold. My dad had to dose the sheep, is it called dose in your language, to give them some medicine, and then they also had to be dipped. That's good. Thank you. I see the Afrikaans and the English is quite the same there. Now, in this area, if it was summer, you had to get up very early. Well, for us, very early would be 4 o'clock. We don't have the day-night switch like you do, so days would quite be constant. The reason to get up very early is because it was very hot during the days. So you had to get up early, 4 o'clock, 4:30, you had to go into the field. And then what we would do is we would go into the camp, which would be a long rectangular form square, and we would line up. And maybe this is the same practice that you do here in Scotland, but we would line up, my brother, my father, and I, and some of the workers that helped us on the farm. And we would go to the back line of the camp, line up, and then we'll start walking through the field from the back, getting the sheep to the sheepfold and pen where the dip tank would also be, and and the place where we would dose them. So what we would do in instances like that, and that specific day it happened to be the same, we started at the back and we slowly moved through the camp. And our camps is quite big, or that camp was 690 hectares big. So would that be 690 football fields? I think so, I'm not sure. Not like that. More than that. All right, 700 football fields through this type of vegetation. And you know, being a student, that's not your thing to do. And then we would move through the camp, starting at the back. And I remember that specific day, unfortunately, our sheep, they couldn't understand English nor Afrikaans or any other human language, which would make it much easier if my dad could just call over a loudspeaker, come on, it's time to get in and have your medicine. It doesn't work like that. So we would start walking through the field, as I said, very slowly through these vegetations. And then you would see the sheep in front of you, and we will start calling out. Now, I don't know if this is the practice in Scotland, but it may be strange. And we would call something like, woo-woo, woo-woo. And someone would impersonate a dog, woof, 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 and all kinds of ways, or someone would pick up some stones, and if you see a sheep that side trotting off, you'd throw a stone behind the sheep so they would get back into the direction of where we were heading. So that is the way we gathered the sheep, getting them in to the pen. And when you get closer to the pen, the sheep are quite clever, although they don't understand any human languages. They do smell the dip that was pre-mixed in the tank. And the closer you get, the more stubborn the sheep will be to get to the pen, because they knew it was going to be uncomfortable. And that day we got them in, and most of them in, except for 2 lambs, just in front of the pen as we gathered, the group of us. 2 lambs were all of a sudden very frightened. And the next moment, they just jetted off into the field, gone over a hill. And they couldn't cope with the stress. We think we have stress as humans, but they also do, apparently. It was small little lambs. And my father just gave my brother and I the look. And you knew it was your job to go and fetch the lambs. We went over the hill, and there we saw the 2 lambs close to each other. And I said to my brother, this would be easy. I'll go this side around, you go that side around, and we'll catch them, and then we'll bring them in. But remember, it's quite open and it's quite vast. I don't know about you, but back then, you won't believe it, I was still athletic, not anymore. You can't outrun a lamb in that field if they're on a roll. They run. At a stage, I was breathless, and I said to my brother, Rian, I said, if I get close to it now, I'm going to tackle it. I'm going to just grab it, which I tried, and I came off with dust on myself. And my father, we had what we call walkie-talkies, that would be a wireless radio. My father called and he said, why are you taking so long? What's happening? And I said, we can't catch them. And I said, my dad said, what are you doing? I said, we are chasing them. We are trying to catch them. My dad said, you know the rule. You never run after sheep. He said, stand still. And what my dad did was something very ordinary, but well thought through. He took four other He took four others out of the pen and walked with them on his own, and he directed them. And then when he got over the hill, he just left them. And you know the natural process, what happened is these lambs saw the ewes and they came together, they formed this flock, and they walked with our direction at the back to the pen, and they got in to the pen. And within the pen, now that was a different struggle to get them to dose them. And this would be our typical sheep there. And that's almost the color of how it looks with us. It's not Scotland. It's gray. It's dry. Now, most of you would know how it works. You catch them, get them into the dip tank, and then they go through the dip tank and the other side out, and you will dose them with the dosage. What do you call that thing, Ian? Or anyone? A gun. Yes, a dosage gun. Yes. And at that stage, when they are dipped and dosed, obviously my father knew that there's a new camp with good water and good feeding, grazing, where he would leave them again to graze on their own. That day, I was thinking in the felt of Psalm 23 and the things I have seen that morning. And I thought to myself, there were different things I can take from this, which I see the Lord in my own life. I see that the Lord does use other helpers to gather his flock. He does use other people. I also gained that the Lord does not necessarily speak to us directly as I, and I think maybe you too, would like him to do. But he used different things. Maybe it's a woo-hoo or a bark or even a stone scaring me somewhere on my way. But to just guide me in the way he would like me to go. And going back to the vegetation that morning, I was thinking to myself, and yes, as a sheep, I can't see what's ahead of me because this would be my height. But luckily, the shepherd, the farmer, my dad, he knew what was ahead. He knew where we would be heading. I thought to myself, and sometimes I only see the small path which I'm on. But luckily, I know the Lord knows the direction to where he wants me to go. Coming to the pen, I thought, seeing myself in the shoes or the feet or the hooves of the lambs, sometimes I also stress in life. Sometimes I anticipate and I smell the dangers, which I think would be dangerous, or the discomfort of life, and I don't want to go forward. And sometimes I'm also stubborn in life. But none of those sheep that day knew what it meant to be in the pen. It was actually protecting them from parasites and sickness and illnesses. And none of them knew that the medicine they would get would work later, in a later stage, and would help them. And the dip, being uncomfortable and wet, would get the ticks off, not immediately, but within a few days. And I thought to myself, yes. And sometimes I don't understand the processes of life. Sometimes I don't understand the medicine that's given to me. But sometimes it does help. And I don't need to understand everything, because the shepherd is in control. He's giving the dosage. He's looking after me. Seeing the lambs, coming back to the lambs, do I sometimes stress in life? Yes, I do. Do I sometimes run away when situations get tough? Yes, sometimes I do, and maybe you do. Now, I know there's a practice. I don't know if that's a general practice, which I don't like. I don't like the practice. When a lamb would run off, a farmer would then break one of their legs afterwards so that they don't do that again. My dad didn't do that the morning. He wasn't mad at them. He was mad at my brother and I. But with patience, my dad took other sheep and took them to these scared and bewildered lambs. And I thought to myself, and so does the Lord. Sometimes he takes people that I know or are familiar with, whom I can associate with, and I can go with them, not even knowing that it's the shepherd that sent them to get me back. And afterwards, as I said, my dad prepared the camp, seeing that everything was intact. And the sheep just went off grazing. And I thought, and that's like my life. I think it's my own way and I can graze along, but life was prepared for me. And when I think about Psalm 23, there's a lot that we can take from it. And this was only my own experience. And you can fill it in. I said that day, there's a few words that would start with the letter P, which reminds me of Psalm 23 and the workings of the Lord. This first would be provision or providing, which my dad did for those sheep and the Lord does for me. I think of peace, thinking, although I worry, I'll have peace wherever I am because the shepherd is present. And although I couldn't see, the sheep can't see the shepherd all the time, he's there. And he's protecting the sheep, whether it be physical, seeing that a camp is in order, or whether it be things that I can't even think of coming towards me. And therefore I know that the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, does the same for me, providing for me, seeing me through. And I think of the word patience, even with my stubbornness and silliness in life. The Lord still says, it's fine, I'm here, and I'll sort the things. I know this morning was quite different, and it wasn't a sermon in the sense of expository preaching. But I wanted to share this with you. Something personal, thinking, when you see sheep, and I have a sheep, some green sheep, not the sheep's not green, the grass is green, Scotland. Well, I got that from the internet. And I thought to myself, if you see a sheep this week, think of this. Think of the peace of Psalm 23. And may you live, well, at least for the following week or so, from this. Amen. It's fine. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that in such a easy and honest way, walking on the farm as a student, helping me understand how you work. I think the same would apply for David or whoever wrote the psalm of Psalm 23. Really thinking of the way you work with us, seeing us through, helping us, planning our way ahead, preparing things for us, having patience with us, protecting us, providing for us, being present. And therefore, Lord, we can gather in this song. The Lord is my shepherd. I have peace, and therefore I shall not want anything else. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for affirming that you are the good shepherd, the one who gives us life, protects us with everything. We ask you the week ahead, be with us. We know you are present, but remind us in different ways through the work of your Spirit that we live within your presence. We pray this in your name, as Father, as Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I just want to go back a while. I did ask our prayer group a week ago. This is usually how it looks with us, the vegetation and in general the karoo, which that would be quite green. But at this stage, it looks like this with us. In certain areas, there's really nothing. I saw on Facebook and on the internet. Flock and cattle are really dying. There's nothing at this stage. So I want to ask you, living in this area this week, when you see green grass, which you see constantly, please pray for the farmers in South Africa as well. With that thought and knowing that God provides for us, let's sing this version of The Lord's My Shepherd.
Thank you.
we can bring our offerings unto the Lord. Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, in Christ's name and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray for others. We pray for peoples whose lands are scarred by war and whose lives are made wretched by the violence which surrounds them and overwhelms them. We pray for all the places where there is starvation and disease, where children are orphaned and forgotten, where the sick and elderly and poor are pushed aside and their needs ignored. Dear Father, let them know your peace and compassion and give us the courage and the will to make every effort to comfort them. O Lord God, we commend to you our Queen and our nations, all our cities, towns, villages and communities. And in particular at this time, may your Holy Spirit guide and enlighten those in national and local governments so that justice, integrity, and care rule in our land. We pray for the well-being of your church here in this place and throughout the world. Guide it and guard it by your good Spirit, so that all who profess and call themselves Christians may be led into the way of truth and hold the faith in the unity of the Spirit and in righteousness of life. As our own Church of Scotland sets about seeking ways to proclaim your good news more effectively. We ask for your support and guidance for the institutions and individuals tasked with this ministry. As in our own congregation, we seek our own way forward. We pray that you will give Atty and our other office bearers your support and your guidance. Loving Father, we commend to your generous goodness all those who are in any way afflicted or distressed in mind or body or circumstances. Comfort them and relieve them according to their individual needs. Give them patience under their sufferings and a happy release out of all their afflictions. And those of our own families, neighbours or community who need that comfort and relief, we now name before you in the silence of our hearts. Remember all whom we remember, O Lord, and forget none whom we forget. And we pray for families, for parents and children, for husbands and wives, for brothers and sisters. And we especially remember all those who are far from us. All these prayers we make in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.
Thank you for the prayers, Stuart. Our closing hymn, "You, Lord, are both Lamb and Shepherd." And I was just thinking I asked you to pray for South Africa as well. But then just after that we sang, "And I Will Trust in You Alone." I thought, that's it. Let's sing the last hymn. "You, Lord, are both Lamb and Shepherd," Jesus Christ being the Shepherd for us eternally.
Thank you.
May the Lord be in front of you to make the pathways in a good state ahead, prepare them for you. And may the Lord be at your back to protect you from the onslaughts of evil. And may the Lord be beside you to enfold you in his loving arms. And may the Lord be under you to pick you up the day when you might stumble or fall. And may the Lord be above you to bless you and dwell within your heart with his Holy Spirit, so you may live from his grace every day. Amen.